for this gift of the water, of the bread of life. What? This is a gift of God in man, who gives you free. All gifts of God are free. And this is also a gift from Master, the God in him, to the disciple, which has the power to enliven the life in him. Gundana defines who is that man and who is really alive. And he says, only he is alive or not, in which God has become the enlivening power of the soul. The soul that has become the mouthpiece of God are the switch which is protected with the powerhouse. That electricity of the powerhouse is working through him, is in tune, in contact. So unless we have that contact by receptivity, we cannot give forth much fruit. You can remain a religious man. You can have all scriptures by heart. You can have all the world literature stuffed in your brains. Well, just like so many libraries up there. They all give reference to this thing. But this thing you can have only by living up to what the Master says, the first thing, and the second is by developing receptivity. His words should abide in you, that's the first thing, and you should abide in him. Only then you will have this gift of bread of life and the water of life. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That is, he is dead. You see, the same words, Gurudhani said the same word he is saying. When a branch is cut off from the tree, naturally that withers and dries up and used for firewood. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. This is what is meant in the biblical literature. The soul dies. Actually, it does not die, but it becomes withered, you see. That is cut off from the Lord, from the God in him. If he abides in me again, he says, if he abides in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what he will, and it shall be done to you. Ask anything you like. In all things, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. You knock, it shall be opened unto you. Only then, when you come in the course of it. First of all, there will be no desire left. Oh, please tell us, what is that by knowing which? Nothing more is left to be known. He says, then, first of all, you will never have any desire whatsoever. If at all any does strike you, they arise in you, that will fulfill that desire. Wherein is my Father glorified, give there much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Such like disciples can have the water of life and the bread of life. As the Father now, he goes further. How to develop this receptivity? Then he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. In love only, you see, you remember something. What is love? For whom you have got love, he is constantly in your heart. Always. You may not be expressing with words, but you have something dragging you from within. That constant remembrance is there. And in which the heart, in which such a state, develops, that how can in that heart, other than him whom he loves, survive there? If at all anybody is remembered only for the sake of whom he loves. So if we love God, we love the others for the sake that God is in him, not for the level of forgetting him and loving something else. For he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How to abide in his love, you see? Well, keep up the commandments you have given. What does he say? He says, don't think evil of others. Even in mind, word and deed, you must be truthful. Never tell lies, never conceal, don't use up others' rights. Don't say sarcasms. Have something else in your mind, something else in your mouth. You say something now, and behind you say something else. Be true to your own self. You can deceive others, but not the God in you. So what I always impress is to be true to one's own self. So this is what requires, what love requires, you see. Then what are his commandments? Be chaste in word, thought, and deeds. Live up to what the scriptures say. Scripture, though you are married, scripture says, marriage means taking up a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, and both help each other to know God, for that's the highest aim of a man's life. Begetting children might be one duty, not 100% duty. And about it says, you love thy wife as Christ loved the church. So he wants all of us to keep up to his commandments, and what he says, love God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor. Other masters say, God, love thy God, and love all creation. There is no place where God is not. So love is the thing through which you can have the sweet remembrance and the constant remembrance. You dream of it, you see. And when you go into a very fast sleep, if you remember it, without knowing, you see, the same things will be coming out of your mouth. He says, if he keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That will give you more love from day to day. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, follow me. I will live up to the commandments of my Father. And similarly, you love, abide by the commandments of the God in me, of the Father in me, he says. So these are the things, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is how you have the master. When you just live, take the example of there are so many sons, a man has got 3-4 sons. One man just lives according to the commandments of the Father, never disobeys. He simply follows what his intentions are. Others obey only when they are told. Are you in that? Really, really not? Vinayini, a Sadhguru do not avail, which the son will be depressed of all. Though we read the intentions of the father and without saying, without any inclination given, he lives up to that. After every son knows what his father wants. Every disciple knows what his master wants. Should he repeat every time, every day, that very lesson? Wise man is one who hears the word of the master and keeps up in the heart of hearts and lives up to it. If you do that, you will win the pleasure of the master. And what will master do? When father, excuse me, leaves the body, what does he do? He gives the keys of the whole thing to the son who is obedient, who lives up to his commandments. So this is what Guru Nanak says, for the purpose of having the water of life, or the bread of life for which you have come into this world, is in the hands of the master. Go to him, remain where you are, never mind, by living a religious way of living, that will prepare the ground, you see, when you surrender your whole self to the master. That is why Christ and all of the mother say, master say, leave all and follow me. What does he mean? By following him means not to leave homes and everybody should leave and follow him, you see. Therefore, excuse me, where he will give them accommodation to live. To follow means to surrender themselves, you see, according to his wishes, not as a slave mind that, but as a friend. You find this thing further, I just open it. This is my commandment, that ye have one and love one another as I have loved you. And further what he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Love knows service and sacrifice. Ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, you see, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doth do it. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Whenever masters come, they don't want to make slaves of you, they address you as friends, so that you may know what he says. A friend can know a friend better. A slave cannot know it, friend. So whenever masters come, they do not make a slave of you, but they give you equal rights. They say, I am a man like you. There are my words. Abide with them. You abide in them and you abide in me. So this is how this activity developed, by living up to what the masters say, and also by developing this activity and abiding in the master. He takes you as equal, as friends. So for that what is required? So if you have known what is meant by the water of life, or the bread of life, how can you partake of it? Only by developing receptivity. As you think, so you become. When he Word made flesh, then word will come in you. You need that word in him, you see, not the flesh of the body. So these are some things which are given in the form of parables to make you understand what is what. And for that thing is required, you see, the pure lives. Unless you live up to what he says, unless you abide by the words what he utters, if you live up to them, you cannot have first step. Then the second step you can have only when you learn to abide in him. So for that what is required now? So the whole curtain is the mind between us and God. Soul is of the same nature as that of God, but soul is under the control of mind. And mind is at the led away to the outward faculties, to the outside things, and we are given up to the pleasures of the outside. So unless mind is stilled, you cannot have this bit of life. You find in the scriptures, they say, be still, physically and in mind, intellectually. If you do that, and know that we are God, you find that the curtain between me, between us and the God. One saint says, if you have a mind to know God, you are made of resolute will, know God, then just put one step on your mind that is still it, and the next step that you will take, that would enter the house of your Father. So mind is the, what the curtain or the impediment lying between man and God. Now how to withdraw mind from outside? Every time outside things, the outward faculties, eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. These are five organs of sense through which five senses work. Sight, audition, smell, taste and touch. Always we get impressions from outside. The subconscious reservoir of our mind is overflowing with the impressions we receive from outside. We see dreams of that way. We reverberate unknowingly those very things which are overflowing within us. So how to withdraw mind from the outward faculties? If you know that only by stilling it. And to still the mind, there are ways and ways, many ways. We have been seeking so far God in outside things. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. So long as you are engaged in the pursuits which relate to the outgoing faculties, you cannot find. It is only by liberating the soul or analyzing the soul from mind and withdrawing mind from the outgoing faculties that you can know who you are, what you are. You can come in contact with that. This elixir of life or the water of life is already within us, and the retarding factor is only mind. If mind just is directed to the outgoing faculties, we become worldly. If mind is directed to the soul above, we become spiritual. So this is what we have to learn in the on the way to God. God is the very soul of our souls. God is the very power that is controlling us in the body. In your mind you will find that one thing I tell you, in a natural way. If you are sitting in a drought state, your attention is just absorbed in something, your outgoing faculties do not work. Because the attention, which is the expression of the soul in the body, is engaged in something, engrossed, absorbed. So the faculties have strength from the attention when they are that is attached with the attention. And similarly, mind also gains abstain from the soul. Even you are absorbed, even you will find your mind is at work. You go into your reverie. So mind is the only thing standing in our way back to God. So Master says, "Oh mind, be still." You would like to have a draught from the water of life. That you would have, well, what is that water of life? As I told you, God is light. And God is sound principle. That you come in contact when you are still mentally and physically. So that is the thing which is already within us. Like the parasitical plant, it is covered on a certain part of the tree, that portion on which it is fed, that becomes dry. That parasitical plant derives all the life from the branch of the tree on which it is fed. Similarly, mind takes strength from the soul and have that soul covered up. We are not able to see God. So Master tells us what to do. Just control your mind. Then he says, what to help you on the way. He says, just leave out all infirmities. All whatever shortcomings you have got. In the way of violence, hatred, and lies, and other passions. If you do that, do what are good. There are five things. There's hatred. Why have what you have? Love. If you've got anger, have what you have, forgiveness. If you are impure, lusty, have what you have, chastity. So these are the things you adopt, those good things, and leave off these things. Zoroaster was asked by people, what should they do? He said, join the army of God. And he was asked, what is the qualification required? And he said, righteousness. And he asked, what is righteousness? And he defined good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. So ethical life is the stepping stone to spirituality. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We live after the virtues and leave all vices. That will help us to just control your mind for a while. And whatever wrong you have done, repent. Wash away with the tears of your eyes of repentance. This is the way prescribed by all masters who came in the past, so we should live up to them. So, generally you will find we have got full of passions, greed. What else? You will find lies, deceptions, usurping other rights, you know, not taste thoughts, thinking evil of others. All the time, all these things go within our this cavern of the man body, with all filth, with all dirt. How can you expect a king to enter a place, a cavern, and which is full of dirt and filth? So that is why all must say what you do. You just have the pure hearts. Well, if you get your bodies clean, you wash it from outside, then all right, cleanliness is next to godliness. If within you lies all the filth and the bad odor. We should also cleanse the body within too. So this is what all verses say. They say, Kavi says, if a fish, even if that enters the most sacred river, Ganges, even that by living in that water, that cannot leave off bad odor. So it is not the cleanliness of the body outside, but cleanliness of the heart within. And that is the way that now lays before you to get this inner way. That you see, not only we have just, used a toilet for us millions of dollars every year, but that's not the outer purity. That I mean, draw the attention of God, but the inner one. He is after finding out, and the holy way finding heart full of love, full of His thought. But our hearts are full with worldly thoughts. We're thinking evil of others by usurping others' rights, feeding others' blood, by lusty thoughts, hatred, and so on. But we must keep our hearts pure. So for that reason, what have we to do now? That is what I just read out from the Bible. You should become Guru Mukh. Guru Mukh word means to be always keeping your master before you. When he initiates you, gives a little experience of the water of life and the bread of life, the very moment he resides with you and never leaves you, that is the Christ power with him. The God power and the Guru power, it never dies. It never leaves you. I said, never leave you till the end of the world. And all masters say it in the God in him, in that the Son of Man. That is the true master, that when that takes care of somebody, will never leave him unchoked and takes him to the feet of the Father. So he says, for that what you should do, you just come in contact with God and be always directed like the needle of the compass towards north. Always thinking of the grace of the Master. As you think, so you become. And I told you, what is the Master? It is the God in him manifest. That is the Master. And we have evolved for that human pole at which that power was. But all the things you'll find all Masters differentiated these things, the Son of Man and the Christ. So, what to do then? When you live up to him, what he says, live up. And you will find the truth which is clothed in light, the truth which is the symphonies of the music of all harmonies, which is the outer aspect of the God effecting power, which is called Word, and Word was made like dwelt among them. This is the way whether you live in one religion or the other. That makes no difference. Remain. If man is social, he must remain in some social body. But while remaining in social body, you will make your good actions. You will have reactions of the good. But to know God, to have the water of life and the bread of life, which will quench your thirst forever and appease your hunger forever, that is coming in contact with the God power, which is light and firm principle, which you have as a gift from the Master. And we must live up to what it is. Well, this is today's Sachita, things that will do if you live up. The Masters never come to break one religion and start new. The same truth is already there. Just live up to them. If you live up to them, everything is all right. what is the meaning of life gives us, and what, I say, this light, etc., we can see or not, can we come in contact with that, what do we need, and how can we have contact with that, that will probably subject tomorrow's talks.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of a talk that Master gave on December 13, 1963, in Harmony Grove, California. It was given the name Readings from St. John. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good evening. I shall be continuing to read from The Light of Kirpal. Last time I was on Chapter 30, titled Purity of Heart, talk given by Master on 17th December 1970. Somebody asked Master, "Well, is there God? Where's God?" He asked him, "Where's that place where He is not?" It is all his expression, you see. The ideal man sees him in everything and everything in him. And then he's enjoying the radiance, the ringing radiance. So the ideal is to become an ideal man. We are already really men, but we have forgotten. We are identified in the outside so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. That's all. You are princesses, you are sons of God, you are micro-gods. There is no doubt about it. But unless you realize it, you should not affect others, as this is misguidance. Masters say God is manifested in them. But they never say they are God. They see and they help others to see. He gives them something to start with, which is to be developed from day to day. So that power never leaves us. We are swimming in Him. That power is the very life, just as water is the very life of the fish. When a child starts to read in the beginning, he learns ABCD and then learns to just join letters and to read words. Then he goes on to learn the lines from day to day, remembers them. Next day he forgets. Again he remembers. Then he becomes adept and he speaks. I tell you, when I was a very small child, reading in the third primary, one man came up and gave a lecture. I looked into his face and thought, from where is he reading this? I'm telling you my state. Now I see it as a very natural thing. But in the early stages, we wonder, how can that be? The master is working, digging, doing this and that thing. Still, He is in there. How can that be? It is something like that, you see. These things are learned only in the company of a master. How many things can you write about? Main things, salient points are given, that's all. So that is why the physical presence is important. It gives you 100 times more than you get from a book. Maulana Rumi says, if you sit by a saint for an hour, you learn more than what you learned in 100 years of meditation. Because you get everything. You ask questions, you learn, and you have got that radiance. So, can you learn that thing by silence? 1/3 is given by word of mouth, and 2/3 by radiation. Through eyes, I never questioned my master throughout my life, except one or two questions, of course. What is the proof that the science shall remain alive after you? That was a very impertinent question, of course, but still he answered. Yes, that will continue, but only to whom I will order. I simply learned by sitting, that's all. You learn many things like that, so physical presence cannot be underrated. Sit by him in silence, silence of the heart and mind. No ramifications, no current of thought running through. Still, you'll have it. Learn many things by radiation. Do you follow what I mean to say? That becomes a question of receptivity, I would say. You are as good as I am. That very power is within you. You have not yet directed your attention towards that. That's all. One saint said, well, how far will you be playing with the dust? You are princess. It does not behoove you to be rolling about in the streets and enjoying only dust. Well, this is the time, man body is the time in which you can see God. It is already there. You have to become conscious of it. That's all. Question, Master, yes, when I'm doing my diaries, the last few clays, it seems, I don't have much to put down, and I felt that can't be possible, that I must be looking hard enough. Master, I would say that's good if you've got nothing. What more do you want? When we can put nothing down, then it's all right, but still have self-introspection. Later you won't need it. On the way, we still need it. Now and then, something creeps up. Question, when you say self-introspection, you mean watching everything we do all day as we are doing it, to see what we are doing? Master, to see if you have love for all, no attachment, no ill will against anybody. Naturally, if you have no harsh words, you won't backbite, you won't call names, you won't strike anybody. Is it not so? You feel and see God in every man. They're all chaste. You see Him in everybody. You love everybody. No hatred. You'll be of service to others. When you're serving man, you're serving God. Then, this is what you have to come to. Is it not? Diary is a blessing, I tell you, for all. I have been keeping one from my student life, too. You see, firstly, the number of failures grow more. Don't be afraid of that. It's not growing more. It's only that you are now becoming more conscious of those failures which you were doing. So, don't mind. There may be hundreds. Then weed out. When all failures are shown, you'll have blessedness. You'll feel purity. You'll kiss your body. Body is a temple of God, just as St. Paul says, it is not I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. So, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity means to have no thought other than God. Then, this is true purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. What is purity? Not only to be chaste, you see, but not to have any ill will, any hatred. Don't deceive anybody. Don't usurp anybody's rights. Where you have love, all these things follow. But there's one difference between love and charity. Love begets attachment sometimes. You are bound. You are caught. But if you have got charity, then that's the difference between the two. You now understand what is purity, whose heart is pure, in which no other thought than God comes up while eating, drinking, sleeping, anywhere. That's the ultimate. You will have the ringing radiance. It is going on already, but so long as these ripples are in the mind, in the reservoir of the mind, you cannot see your face. If you are still, you can see your face there. So these are things on which you can keep notes. You won't find them given very clearly in books. There's something very beautiful in what the masters say. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So purity lies in that thing. In few words, no thought other than God arises within. That's all. That's it. Purity, true purity. When there's otherness also, that is not sufficient. There is duality. Question. Master, I have heard of different aspects of your life from childhood, but everything seems to be perfect. Something like you have to be perfect all through life in order to reach God. Master, love beautifies everything. When you see through the eyes of love, that beautifies even the darkest thing will appear to be very beautiful. But really, man is in the make. Some come as made, some are made here. This fate awaits everybody. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. If you continue to have only thoughts of God, say for a few days, you'll feel blessedness. When you eat, thank God that you're remembering. When you go to sleep, all right, I'm going in your lap. You are not to leave or go into the wilderness. We have to learn swimming in water, not on dry land. To be aloof, cynic-like, you won't learn then. That is why in the lives of very great rishis, there were failures. A cobra or a snake is very harmless, but when you make him angry, you must be air-conditioned. That's all. Question. You mentioned a cobra just now. I live near a river and we get rats to come in the house. I would prefer to get these out without killing them, but I don't know how to do that. Must I kill them? Master, look here. Obey the physical laws. Abide by the health department instructions. That's all. For instance, rats come, they eat your crop. Then, if you have a lot, give them something. Rats don't usurp. They want something. They've no homes where they store food. Just try for a few days. Keep some grain aside in one place. Rats won't run through your rooms. They will simply go there. They have to eat. Buy, borrow or steal, what to do? Is it not? Buy, borrow or steal. You don't share with them. They are also the younger brothers, you see. Rats and reptiles and everybody. We've got it set up like that. If you give them something, they won't harm you. It is because we reserve ourselves, we don't like them, we kill them. Still, they will buy, borrow or steal. That's all. Question. We have fire ants, little ants that sting very bad, and they are all over the garden. I have to poison them. Master, go by the instructions of the health department. Finish off. For higher things, you have to sacrifice small things. It is a sin to breathe even, I tell you. We kill so many insects in the air. You trample so many under feet. Then, how can you be served by accounting? It is only a matter of grace. Do your best and leave the rest. Only don't have the intent of harming anybody. That's all. So that's the first qualification if you'd like to meet God. Don't harm anybody. Harm comes through thought, through word, and through physical action. Very simple things, you see. We have made it hard to understand. As for hornets, if you keep some separate thing for them outside, they'll go there and won't enter your rooms because we don't share. The same principle works. You see, buy, borrow, or they do their best. How can they live without food? It is a pity. All these creatures are the members of the family of God. Some lower, some higher. You love everybody, they will love you. Last night, one man, I was just told, came from the village of village to Manav Kendra. Some dog was barking at him and began biting him. He cried, "But it is all wilderness. Nobody heard." Then he called my name, "Oh, Master, save me." The dog left him. Even the dogs have the sense for something higher. Why not a man? Last night, the day before last night, that's the statement of a man who was crying out for 1.5 hours. Nobody could hear because of the distance. So I've asked them to have some guard during the night there from today on. But he cried for the master loudly and the dog left him. They have got some sense too. So we are all brothers and sisters from the reptiles to man. All are younger brothers of the family. This ultimately will come too. Peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O Lord. In 1948, I was living the other side of the Ganges in the jungle. There were scorpions so big, they never hurt me. Neither did the snakes. They have senses after all. Why not a man, you see? You follow what I say? Very simple thing. No philosophy. No drawing inferences. Hard facts. So truly speaking, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God where? In and out. He is already there. You have not to create Him. Our inner eye is open to see, to find, so you can regain your Godhead day by day. It is there, but we have lost it. As I told you the other day, a strong man revels in the strength of the weak man, wonders how he got it. You see, time factor is necessary. Every man is in the make. Some come as made. They also become saints. Others are made here. When a man becomes an M.A., whether he has got that degree here or from the past, he is transferred as an M.A. to some other department. That makes no difference. He is an M.A. Lectures don't give us much. These heart-to-heart talks give you more. Digest. All these talks, if they are recorded, will be very helping factor, very informative. All right, you enjoy your meditations during the day. It's getting 9:30 now. Time flies away. You see, that's all right. God bless you. Now I move to the next chapter, which is titled Develop All Around. It's a morning darshan on December 18, 1970. Question. Sometimes in my meditation, I feel afraid. I am about to break through the light. Master, you see light? What color? Devotee, bright. Master, the further thing is to learn to look into the middle of the bright light, not the hole. That will burst. Devotee, sometimes I feel the light start to break and I become afraid. Master, don't worry. Just look into the middle and that will open, break, you'll pass through. You'll find Master's form at the back. Perhaps you may think you are dying, you won't die. I'll give you that in writing. Rest assured that you won't die. But you will learn to die. What is death? It is only a matter of transference. I have left that place. I am dead there and alive here. But I'm the same man, am I not? You won't die. Sometimes a man is afraid. Sometimes breathing is involved. If breathing is not involved or you are not conscious of the body, then there is no fear. If you are conscious of the body, sometimes are conscious of the breathing going on and you say, I'm going to die. So when you sit for meditation, consider you are dying. These outer entanglements won't let you go up. There is nothing to be afraid of, you see. If you find the master there, then won't you be pleased? Won't you be pleased? But you have to take cross daily. Taking cross daily, what does it mean? Do you know? what is a cross like? It's just like Master outreaches his arms in a cross-like position. This is a cross. Take up your cross daily. Master makes a vertical portion of the cross going up. You are taking cross. You are not. You are simply carrying that symbol. That's a symbol. Taking cross daily. It does not say to carry the cross daily. No, it's not carrying the cross, but it is taking the cross. You rise up. This is what is meant to die while alive. That is why they said the kingdom of God cannot be had by observation so long as you are outside. Observing from outside, it is within you. It is a very glorious thing. It is joyful. Why don't you go? Why are you afraid? Your attachments outside won't let you go. You'll have to pay the price. Take cross daily, that's all. But at the same time, I assure you, you won't die. The reason is that the karmic link with which we are bound with the body, called the silver cord, is not broken. Unless that is broken, you cannot leave the body and go forever. Do you follow this point? Then be joyful and meet your Lord there. Mirabai said, a saint in India says, my beloved is awaiting me, but you have to take the cross. Shuli. Shuli means there is a cross. The cross is like that. Shuli is like that. Learning to rise above. We have to sacrifice by coming to the cross and see if you find your friend beyond this wall, this hedge, won't you plunge? You will plunge. That's all. That is plunging into the beyond. Take the case of a child. He's sitting on top of the roof. He sees his mother. He plunges. Then do you think the mother would let him fall down? She'll catch him. It is a plunging onto the beyond. That's all. I think you don't like to meet the Lord within. Yes? Then you must pay the price. And what is the price? Take cross daily. No money to be paid. Take off the dirty clothes and go up. This earth, physical body, are only the clothes we are wearing. That's all. In Gita, Lord Krishna says, we have to change our clothes. Take this off, then take off the second layer, take off the third layer, then you are there. So we are identified with outer forms of so much that we have forgotten ourselves. You have got the tickets and you don't like to go to the other world. It is just like that. Train is waiting for you. God is giving the train signal. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And you don't even like to entrain yourself. An airplane leaves only at the airport, not at any other place. And this is the airport. Master points to the region of the third eye. You have got the ticket. Those who have been initiated, they have been given a ticket. Now it is for you to just to go. You've not to be anxious or worry, no effort, nothing. Simply here, come in contact. All worries will go. When you put filth into the fire, all is burnt. All worries, disappointments, hopelessness, everything is burnt away when you come in contact. But we don't like to remain in the light. That's all. Question, when light comes, darkness will go? Master, yes, surely. But we don't make the best use of the thing we have got. This is a privilege you have got. It is said, one saint had a pity on some very poor man. He gave him one touchstone, which when rubbed on any metal would turn into gold. He gave it to him and said, all right, you have it for 1 month. Make as much gold as you like. So he went to the market to find out the price of the iron. Oh, it has become dearer. All right, we will wait. Let it become cheaper. After a few days, again he went, but the rate went up further. This is still very dear. Then he would wait. It is dear. He was waiting and waiting for the metal to become cheaper. But the 1 month time of allotment was over. He did not make the best use of this touchstone. So now he had to return it. It became an ordinary stone. This is something we are doing. What do we have to pay? Leave off all attachments. That's all. If you cannot leave off all attachments, come in contact and these will be burnt away. Daily dyings, worldly worries won't let you go. There, we think, let these worries be over, then I will go. Is it not? This isn't true. These worries will continue until you have the body. Why not make the best use of that time now? You follow me? Time is passing. Time and tide waits for no man. Someone brought a horse to a water wheel. When the machine is going and the wheel goes round, there's noise and the water comes out. He was standing by the water pump. The man in charge said, "Why don't you have your horse drink the water?" "No, when the noise is over, only then will I water the horse," the man replied. "When the noise is over, there will be no water." So these things go on. We never dream this will happen, that we will have to leave all these things. The only price we have to pay is to take cross daily. These are different ways of making you understand what is what. The only thing you have to come in contact, you have to entrain yourself at the railway station. Or you can sit in the plane at the airport, not in your streets. You have to go there. You'll cash the check only at the window. That's the window here. Master again points to his third eye. Try someday. All worries will leave you. Truly speaking, we have not realized the value of this truth we have got. So fortunate we are. With all that, still we are worrying, wringing our hands, nodding. So I think the course is not difficult, only we do not put in regular time. If we have for 1, 2, 3 months, you put in whole time, cut off from all other things, even from your attachments to your body, you will have it. There's no question of where. It's already there. We have to invert, that's all. All worries will be over. What is worldliness? It is when you forget the Lord, that's all. Money, family, other things are delusions of Maya. Maya is when you forget God. If you can take cross hundreds of times a day, it would be better. The hanging of the cross, well, this is a symbol to show that you must take cross daily. It is quite a model of the man body when you stand like that. Is it not so? Question. Master, do you advocate that men should get their hair cut when they become satsangis? Should you get your hair cut if you have long hair? Master, no, I don't say that. Whether you have long hair or not, that makes no difference for spirituality. It is only the social life which may be affected. If the social life is affected, then you can't have an easy time. People of the world will be pointing out, "Oh, heretic, heretic." They may even hate you. When you've got no social life, what to do? That's a social matter, not a spiritual matter. For spirituality, whether you have long hair or not, that makes no difference. But here's some principle behind having long hair. Saints are the worshippers of nature. They don't destroy nature. When the leaves are dried, they fall down from the trees. The green leaves don't fall. So we are the worshippers of life. When you comb hair, all dead hairs go out. Even if you cut your hair, even then it will grow. That's nature's law. In this age, there's a question of hippies. They are not taken on good terms now. Everywhere they are hated because they have been taking drugs. The Indian government doesn't like them. This is a bad habit they have got. Otherwise, the word hippie means peaceful life, lover of peace. But are they lovers of peace? I will stop here for today and would continue with this interesting talk in my next session. I was reading from The Light of Kripal. I started midway through chapter 30, titled Purity of Heart, and moved on to chapter 31, Develop All Around, and with the grace of Master, would continue with this the next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Master.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading for us. There were 58 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So our Master tells us like that. They say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you.